Here we are then, it's Tuesday. And we've got, I was going to call you Dame Alison then, but obviously you're not Dame Alison.
No.
It's Ali Hayden in with us. We've got the guys over there, just shout out guys. So we've got Lewis, and we've got Izana as well, and we'll be coming to Izana very shortly. But first of all, this just remind me, what were we doing on this half an hour?
We're doing what you think is your greatest achievement or achievements.
Okay. Do you want to start? I'm going to wander over there when you do this. So don't be.
Why are you wandering?
Because I've got to go over there. Just bear
okay.
with me. All right. You tell the story.
It really stems from you on Friday and 5 years of Vectis Radio that you can have dreams, you can achieve them, and I just wondered what people's thought their achievements were to date, and have they got any that they wish to achieve any further?
You did very well without me.
Thank you. Yes, it was quite strange just talking to the microphone.
Yeah. No, I like the sound of that. And, you know, I felt a little bit like over the last couple of days it was all about Vectis Radio and it was all about me.
It is a real achievement, Ian. And I know you're kind of quite coy in taking compliments and things,
I'd much rather you insult me.
I know
where we stand.
But I'm not today. I'm just saying it is a great achievement, and it just got me thinking about what people thought their great achievements were.
Okay. So, are you going to start?
No.
All right, okay. So who's going to start then?
There's lots of comments, lots of people with great achievements.
I know, but before we go to those, because you did say you were going to reveal your achievements. We've got two young men, and they are 17 years old.
Right.
But, you know, I'm thinking, when you were 17, go back, if you can remember that far back.
Yeah, long time.
You know, when you were 17, what were, at the age of 17, this would be interesting to compare, what were your biggest achievements by the time you'd reached, you know, your 17th birthday?
I think just getting to 17, really, the way I was brought up, that was quite an achievement in itself.
Right, okay. which you could elaborate if you wanted to. I mean, I kind of know the story, but you can leave
yeah,
it there.
Yeah, I didn't have the best of childhood, so I was sort of one of seven, and want the best place to be in my house, and I just think quite lucky, really, that I did actually get to 17.
Okay, well, so anybody that knows you properly will know that means a lot to
you.
So what about you, Lewis? So you know you're 17 years old. What's the biggest achievement so far?
I don't really know.
Right.
I sort of taught myself how to play piano.
Excellent.
That's about.
Always wanted to play piano.
Yeah, so did I. So bought one, just started learning how to play it.
So how good are you?
I'm all right. Not excellent, but.
But you taught yourself and
a few songs. Yeah, I can play.
Do you still play now? So you're improving all the time.
Yeah.
Is it piano, keyboard?
Keyboard.
You're going to be part of a band, or you know, got any aspirations?
I don't know. It's just something to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can play piano.
Do you know? I've always wanted to play an instrument. I sit there every night and I'm playing the drums and all that, but I can't. I'm tone deaf.
I can play the recorder.
Yeah.
And I can play chopsticks on the piano.
Okay.
But well, that's it.
Will you come back with your recorder and if we get a keyboard in as well, I'll play the drums. We can form a band, can't we?
I played the tambourine pretty good as well. Ventnor Christmas Day.
Right, good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a pretty good achievement.
Especially self-taught.
Yeah.
Any more? Anything else?
Not that I can really think of.
What about Izana? What's your achievements there? What's your best achievements?
My best achievement is getting this far in life.
Getting this far in life.
Getting to 17, like me. Yeah, we're just lucky.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look. You know, maybe we put you on the spot a little bit. Maybe at the end of the this first section, we'll get a little bit more. You'll remember something. You'll think, no, hang on a minute. That's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah, I did that.
So come on, are you gonna reveal all yet?
Well, apart from the obvious things like having my children, I mean that to me is the greatest achievement ever.
Yeah.
I think actually being elected to the parish council is right up there.
Okay.
And I think it's because it gives me a voice.
Yeah.
It gives me a chance to do stuff for the local community.
Right.
It also opens my eyes to how other people think and how other people feel and how there's a bigger picture to what we just see in front of us.
Yeah.
And hopefully it may lead on to me being a county councillor.
Well, let's hope it does, because that will be, again, that will top all the achievements again, won't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, good for you. Good for you. I think that's... I think that's a nice thing. It's a, I mean, last week I posted something on Facebook, which is, you know, everyone has possibly seen, that's been on Facebook, about the fact that I left another radio station after 16 years of having a wonderful time, leaving the comfort of a reasonably paid job and not really knowing where you were going to land, and set up Vectis Radio. And, you know, the unbelievable comments that we've had, and the likes and so on and so forth, it just brings it home to you, the size of the achievement.
And I think we're not very good at recognising what we have actually achieved.
Yeah, I think
it's
you're
not
right.
Until other people tell you, you think, yeah, crikey, I did that.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you're absolutely right. I think these guys are hiding under a bushel a little bit, because I think they're maybe thinking there, oh, yeah, actually, that was a good achievement. I did that. And it will come to them in a mo. But do you want to just read out a couple there?
We've got Carmel. My children and how they have become such amazing adults with me for a mum. I think she's doing herself down there.
No, but she's not.
No.
You've met her, come
obviously
on.
Obviously, becoming a mum,
I'm joking,
you know, is just fantastic, that you actually get so much input into how another human being turns out. It's just incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Incredible. And from my point of view, I've had twice now sat in Winchester Cathedral watching two of my three daughters get their university degree, and there's never ever going to be a feeling to beat that.
Do you find that, I mean, and that is a lovely feeling, that much, and you'll never ever forget that moment, those moments, they must be lovely, lovely moments, and they're locked in your memory.
Definitely.
But do you find we don't actually get these things out and talk about, because I don't know what it is, we don't shout about the good things. And,
we don't blow our own trumpets either, do we, or that of our children so much.
No, we don't.
You know, I've got a 12-year-old now who feels quite under pressure.
I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Do you want to read out the next one as well? Ali Pritchard. Yeah.
Apart from my children, obviously, having a happy marriage, I'd say publishing a couple of books.
All right. So she's had a couple of books published, which is
fantastic.
Is that something that you would like to do, have a book published?
I'm not sure people would want to read my book. I don't think it'd be the happiest book going.
Oh, I'll tell you what, they'd want to read mine. It lifts the lid on an awful lot of stuff, I tell you.
Yeah.
I'm on chapter 6. I'm in the process of writing it, so you never know your luck. So Ali is, she's happily married, which is nice. Do you know what? You've been married before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Do you know what? In the office, we have a lovely bloke called John. And he really is. I wonder if he's listening to us, but he is. He's a lovely bloke. But he's got terminology that is different to probably you and ours. He would call you, because you've been married before, you're a retread.
Am I?
Yeah. We're talking tyre terms, I believe. But you are a retread. That's
okay.
What he would call you.
I was a very young retread then.
Well, yeah.
I only lasted a year.
Amanda Shirley, she says, I'll let you know when life is finally kind to me.
Aww.
Which I know, Amanda, and I know that, you know, we've got a young man over there who learnt how to play the piano. This woman plays the trumpet exceptionally well. When she brought the trumpet round to Vectis Radio, she comes from Norwich, and she came in. I couldn't blow the blooming thing. I put me gob round it. I blew as hard as me. Like, my cheeks went all puffy. My eyes nearly popped out of my head. I couldn't get a note out of it, but she manages to. We don't realise just how good we are, do we?
No, not
we really don't. Tony Bray's got in touch and he said, did you not hear about my swims?
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
I've never heard of him. just tell us about Tony Bray then.
Tony Bray used to work with Vectis Radio. He supported you. He was fantastic with you. And he got involved with the Motor Neuron Disease Society.
Yeah.
And he swam the Solent.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Not there and back.
Twice.
It was a year apart.
Tony Bray was the one that instigated, I don't know if these young boys know, all the ice bucket challenges last summer, and raised thousands for the motor neurone disease.
He's, I mean, obviously a fabulous, fabulous achievement there, and lots of achievements. Yeah. He's, say, he's raised lots and lots of money. He lost loads of weight, and he then swam the Solent. He then swam it again, and there's a plan to swim it again this summer, apparently. And he's now living up country with his new girlfriend, and I think the biggest achievement is going out with her, because she's attractive. And
that's not very nice, is it? Tony's a lovely guy.
Okay, do you want to read the next one?
Am I reading yours?
No, skip mine. Skip mine.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Tim Morris.
In my own time. Mine has recently changed. Still being alive, and I am now learning to walk again. Still such a long way to go, but without being big-headed, I am so proud of what I have achieved.
Do you know what? This is Tim Morris. Again, he used to work for... he's still part of the team, Vectis Radio, but I think it was about a year and two, 3 months ago he was taken ill. Now, do you know the story? Do you want me to tell you the story?
Yeah,
Tim had issues with his kidneys, and he's massive issues. And he was just taken ill, went in hospital. He stayed in hospital for a while. He then lost an almighty amount of weight, became very, very fragile. And he was, I'm told, clinically dead a number of times in hospital. And he recovered, which is incredible when you see the pictures that we saw on Facebook. Because I saw a picture that was not the man that I knew. And I looked at him and I thought, who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? And then somebody pointed out, that is Tim. And he looked at it and he thought, my goodness me, how bad were you? And yeah, then we found out that he was clinically dead. And it just brings it home to you. And we've seen him a couple of times since. And he's getting better. He's putting on the weight. He's hopefully, fingers crossed, going to make a recovery of sorts and come in and be back at Vectis Radio. So when you look at Tim's achievements, I mean, that is still such a long way to go. But without being big-headed, I am so proud of what I've achieved. I mean, it's just, there's no big-headedness there at all.
No, you definitely should be, Tim.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. And I hope you listen to this, and I hope that you are feeling better. And we have said that we want him to come in and be on the show at some point, because I think he'd make a great guest, a really great guest. He used to do the Weekend Breakfast Show, and he was as funny as you like, and a lovely, lovely, humble man to boot. Mm. So we wish him all the very best. The next one is quite, I think, Lisa Kant. I don't know whether you know who Lisa is. But Lisa is, I'm pretty sure, she's the daughter of Lorraine, Queen of Pan.
Okay.
You must remember.
Yeah.
And she's just put a message here. And again, it's one of those wonderful things. Overcoming serious alcohol addiction.
How fantastic is that?
And, you know, it's how brave to come out and say it. And what I think people like Lisa would be really, really useful to go into schools and talk to youngsters and warn them of the dangers of drinking and those kind of problems. But I think sometimes we just need a little nudge, don't we? Sometimes we just need to put these details out there.
Yeah.
Dean says, getting back on track after the attack that left me with only one working arm, and on from this is having my lovely memorabilia shop in Newport, Ian. Some very tough and dark times in between, though. Now, I used to go to school with Dean.
Did you?
Yeah, and he was a year younger than me, West Ham fan, but we won't hold that against him. And up until a few years ago, he was a fabulous cricketer. And he was mad for cricket, absolutely mad. And he worked, I believe he was at St George's School, and whilst he was there, he got attacked. And he's kind of paralysed down one side. So he walks with a limp, and one of his arms is not fully functional. He still manages to play cricket, but there he is, he's getting on with his life. And he's got his own little shop, which is opposite, I don't know whether you've seen the shop, it's a wonderful shop, so I'm going to give it a big plug, because he sells lots of memorabilia in this shop, right opposite Morrison's.
Is
it still called Morrison's?
Yes.
If you're listening to the repeat, which may be 6 months down the line. It might be called something else, called like something Asda else. Or something like that. So, but he's just one of these guys that's got off his backside and continued to do what he does. You know, never let it get in the way. Yes, he says he had his dark times, but hey, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, you've lost. I just think these are great, great stories. Gabrielle Benedict, do you want to read what Gabrielle says?
No, not really, considering what you've just done.
Hiding the body successfully. Result.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, we'll move on.
Go on. What's next?
Andy Penn. I once walked 115 miles to London. And, of course, my daughter, who I brought up single-handedly and will be 18 in a few months, she is now into farming and winning competitions for both my writing and art, which has been big achievements, considering the bad grades at school I used to get in those subjects.
Right. Incredible.
Yeah,
115 miles?
Yeah.
Come on, guys, what's the longest you've ever walked?
To the bus and back.
14 and a half miles.
Sponsored walk, yeah?
Yeah, I walk the white.
You walk the white? Yeah, half of it?
Yeah, half.
Half of it, all right. What about you, Lewis?
I walk the dog down the seafront and back every day.
See how the confidence is growing now. See how they've got all lippy.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So you walk the dog down the seafront, which is probably about a couple of miles, if that.
Yeah.
Not even that.
Not even that.
You need to try taking the dog to London.
So 115 miles to London, that is an incredible achievement, isn't it? Kieran says, getting into my first choice uni and leaving with a great grade 3 years later. That and getting given my own radio show, of course. Yes, Kieran does the Sunday morning show, 10 till 12. I've got to say about Kieran, because Kieran is one of those guys. He's a lovely guy, okay? Went to university, obviously was there for 3 years. Got a great grade. Now, what I say of people that go to university sometimes, they've got lots of intelligence, but very little common sense. A couple of weeks ago, I phoned him up. And I couldn't get through. So he sat where I am. The light would be flashing, okay? Didn't answer the phone. Phoned him on his mobile, nothing. Sent him a text, nothing. So I then managed to get through on his mobile after about 15 attempts and say, hey, look, what about answering the phone? And he said, oh, I wonder what that thing was flashing. And I said, well, where do you think the phone is? And he said, oh, I know where it is. It's by my knee. And I said, well, why didn't you answer it then? Oh, I don't know. I've never done it before. And I said, you wouldn't... Well, he actually said, you wouldn't believe I've got a degree, would you? And I said, no, I wouldn't. You've got loads of, obviously brain cells, but not a lot of common sense, sadly. But lovely fellow. So, and he does the show on a Sunday morning. Shirley Steed says, never ever thought I'd be on the radio.
Bless her.
Neither did I, Shirley.
She don't. She is fantastic.
Age 70, she's on fantastic. The radio. Absolutely. And you're saying next that your achievements will be spoken about on the Lunchtime Social Debate. Do you want to do the next one? Jules Jenner.
Jules Jenner. Becoming a mother and grandmother. Being a special constable for 8 years and in my 40s. Doing something I wanted to do since my teens.
So she's DJing in her 40s now.
Yeah.
I mean, how incredible is that?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever fancy a bit of DJing, spinning the old disc or anything like that? Does that appeal to you?
Do you know what records are?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Vinyl,
yeah. I don't know. I like making music.
Right.
My own music, but...
What sort of music do you... You never told us that, did you?
No.
So what sort of music do you make?
You know, like... Just different, like R&B,
well,
rap.
We've just asked him about achievements. Yeah. That no,
yeah,
that
you can think of
it.
Anything.
Oh, okay.
Have you got any recordings of it?
Yes.
He's scared to tell you now, in case you ask him to bring them in.
I do.
Can you bring some in tomorrow?
I've got one that I've recorded, but I'm recording the rest.
Can you bring some in tomorrow?
I'll bring. It's got swearing in it though.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's
got just to ruin it for.
It's got a lot of F bombs and N words and stuff.
Right, okay.
Unless you edit it, but I don't know.
No, we spend ages on it, would we? Why do we do that? Why do you do that? Come on, tell me why you do it, because I think that's fascinating.
Why do I do what?
Well, what, you know, the swearing on the songs, I don't understand that at all. It's like George Ezra's got a new single out, he swears on it, and I'm thinking, if you know, why do that? Because you're going to have a hit with it anyway.
Well, I think it's just like, you know, swearing kind of lets out some anger or something. Like, you know, it explains a lot. Like, if, I don't know, if you used to use,
Do you think it should be accepted?
Yeah.
What, how would you feel if, like, a six-year-old came up and did all the high fives and said, hey, and called you the N-word started swearing at you?
Well, it's a six-year-old, so I'd probably laugh, but it's just...
I've got to be honest, that would be quite funny.
It's funny, that would be funny. So, like, it's, you know, like, just let it pass. You know, everybody's going to swear one time in their life or something. You know, it's going to happen.
Not my wife's auntie. She's never sworn in her life, apparently.
No, not my auntie.
I don't believe her, though. I think she's telling lies. Maxine says, my son's always. Pyro's been in touch. It would have to be getting married to Lynn. And when we had Alicia, after that, maybe getting in to see Deep Purple at Nebworth in 1985 without a ticket. I would have paid, but we got there just before Purple came on. And as we had been to a wedding, first weather, the weather was so bad they had given up selling tickets. Gate was wide open, and it would have been rude not to walk through it.
He's a cheapskate, isn't he?
He knows how to treat a wife, doesn't he?
Come on, Lynn, I'll give you a free day out.
Amanda Shirley says, being a musician, I guess, and travelling to some of the places I have been through doing it and what I'm doing now at university, the only continuous thing in my life that hasn't let me down. Jenny Saunders says, I was the UK Disney cast champion from 1998 to 1999. What is the UK Disney cast
champion? I've got
champion?
No idea. Perhaps she worked at Disney or something. I don't know.
I know that Jenny, she once raised loads of money for walking backwards. She did like 10 miles of walking backwards.
Did she fall over?
No, but apparently she got quite dizzy, because apparently it did
freak her out a little bit.
Have a go.
No, because I don't like travelling backwards on a train or a boat
either.
Or anything. I've got to be facing where I'm going.
And if there's no seats, I'll sit on someone's lap. It's not a problem. But I'm not looking that way.
No.
What else have we got here? Mrs. J says, just a thought of another few. Quit using alcohol 20 years ago. Quit smoking 18 years ago. Lived past 50 years. That's my great... Well, no, I'm not there yet, am I?
No, not yet. You've got a few months.
Chair of community group for years. Elected to my local parish council. And like Ali Hayden, I was instigator of getting bus shelters and dog bins, among other things.
Yeah.
Self-taught myself to use computers. And then getting involved off-air on Facebook and Twitter, which I've been doing for the last few years, and long may it continue. Maggie says, changing people's lives for the better, setting up my own business. If you want to know more, check out Maggie's business on our website. It really does make a difference. I remember having a conversation with her. She sat me down, we had a little chat, and it changed things. And check out the website for more details. There's also a book you can get as well. And do you want to do the final one?
It's Pyro Rock Monster again. Doing a radio show was always my dream when I was younger. Never thought I would do it. And interviewing one of my heroes, Fish from Marillion.
There you go. So that's that. Done and dusted.
Yeah.
Out the way. We'll come back with something that it triggered my mind yesterday. That's all I'm going to say. We'll come back in the next few minutes. And it's a real eye-opener. And I think it's one of those things that maybe we should talk about more often.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240. The George Inn Newport, perfect for a family meal or a drink with friends. With home-cooked food, you'll find a home from home in the heart of Newport, 92 St James Street. Call 01983 522 557.
Last orders!
Value Rent-A-Car,
based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. It's a secure online car hire booking service. We provide a low-cost, fully inclusive professional car hire and minibus hire service. We have cars available for rental from under £21 a day if booked and paid for in advance. We take no payments online. Our vehicle rentals are based on a full 24-hour period. Collect at 11 a.m, return by 11 a.m. the next day. Go to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
White Office Equipment. We pride ourselves with being able to offer genuine inks from the major manufacturers at very competitive prices. If you can find the same ink anywhere on the island cheaper, then we want to know. As well as original ink, we also offer a range of competitive inks. We're at the High Street in Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's. Come and see us or call 400-045. That's 400-045. She's got
the look. Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
This is Rock and Radio.
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. I went to see the management earlier about the BBC and ITV having iPlayers and the likes. Why can't we do the same, I asked. We do, they replied. We have the same idea with podcasts. All you have to do is go to the website at www.vectisradio.com. Click on air, then meet the presenters, then choose which presenter's show you want to hear again. Then scroll down to the bottom of their show. If the show has pods, there'll be a selection to choose from. There's even a handy button to click if you have an Apple account. Gosh, that's clever, I thought. I think we might have to call them iPodders then.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Vectis Radio.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, West White Audio. Reasonable prices and all-island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no-obligation chat. Email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
White Trash. Trash.
White Trash World, the home of the island's very own skate brand, White Trash. 59 High Street Ride. It's open Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays. 10:30 till 6 p.m. Not just about skateboards, it's clothing, gifts, shoes, books, DVDs and more. The island's only skate store, White Trash World. Ride High Street.
The Hair Lounge is a unisex hairdresser's in both Newport and Ryde. With its experienced team of stylists, we pride ourselves in offering great-looking hair at affordable prices. Whether you are looking for expert colouring to precision cutting, at The Hair Lounge, we pride ourselves on being a forward-thinking salon, which uses the industry's leading brands and techniques to always make sure our clients look and feel their very best. Call them 01983 718584 or visit them 35 James Street in Newport. The Hair Lounge are also at 9 Cross Street in Ryde or call 01983 564447. The Hair Lounge, great hair at affordable prices.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and home...
Oh, hang on a minute. How many commercial breaks do you need in one show? So it's us. We're here until 1 o'clock. We've got 24 minutes. It's probably not enough time to do what I wanted to do, but we have got a young man in the studios. You've already heard him this morning and before we went to the break as well.
Yeah.
It's Izana, and you've got a wonderful surname, but I think if we just abbreviate it to Izana G, that's... Sounds like you could be a pop star with that name. Now, yesterday you mentioned right at the end you were talking about Black History.
Yeah, Black History
being taught in school.
Yeah,
and I thought to myself, wow, do you know what? You've got a point. you really have got a point. Now, I don't know about you, Ali, when you were growing up and even now, whenever you watch anything about the history of black people, the problems that they've had, the issues that they've had to overcome and so on and so forth, it's all done in an Americanized kind of way.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
And it's almost whenever you watch a film, whenever you watch a TV program, it's always about, you know, Texas, America, that yeah. kind of thing. And we don't get the history of it. Every now and again, you see a program and you see things and you think, okay, that's the issues that we had and they had, you know, in the 1960s and 1970s, because that's, you know, when the gates were open, if you like, if that's the wrong term, then I apologise, but it was you know, more and more people came in and more people had problems. White people had problems because they couldn't talk or they didn't discuss things, I'm a great believer in, if we discuss it, if we talk about it,
yeah,
we're more understanding of it.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the reason why I'm fascinated by it, because obviously, just in case you don't know at home, You are from originally from South Africa?
Yeah, South Africa.
And I find it, when you have a form that says what, you know, and we all must have issues with this. You fill in a passport and it says, what do they call it? What are you? Are you white, Caucasian?
Nationality and what,
you know. I think, does it matter?
Exactly, yeah.
There's a picture. Matter. Can't you tell?
All job forms are like that as well, though.
And how do you feel when you see things like that?
Well, I'm half black and half white. What is?
Because again, you know, this is us pointing out people in the right direction, because we were saying off air, and I wish we had a lot more time to discuss this, because it is a subject that I think, you know, we should put out there and we should talk about. What is the technical term?
Well, I would just call myself black, to be honest, because I'm more black than white, and that's, it clearly shows. So I
not,
just call myself
not
black.
That it matters.
No, that doesn't matter.
And
no.
For somebody like me, I'm colorblind, and I've never really seen a black person as being black, because normally they look brown to me. And I spent, and I said this to you earlier on, I spend all summer long trying to get like you. and you know, some people take that the wrong way, but it's not meant in any shape or form as derogatory or having a bit of a dig. No. And what I don't get is when people will, you know, going back to the football things we discussed yesterday, putting in football terms, we'll cheer and we'll clap, and then we'll be racist 5 minutes later. You know, but we'll cheer on Thierry Henry, but in another point, another moment, we'll all of a sudden we turn and you think, I don't understand that. But what did you want to say? You know the airwaves are yours.
I just want to say, like, you know, like, I don't think black history is being taught that much at school, because, you know, you get the racism bit, you get the 50s, the 60s, the 40s, the 30s, the 20s, but you don't get, like, the slavery bit. Like, you don't get what they've actually gone through to, and then got to that point and then have racism, you know. Like, slavery, there was what, like, I think there was 12 million slaves that were being exported to America or something like that, and, you know, like 15% of them died and stuff. Like, nobody would know that, and, you know, nobody, I can safely say that nobody knows Harriet Tubman that much. Like, Harriet Tubman was a spy. She was a black person. She helped black people escape down the underground. It was Underground Railroad, and stuff like that. I just don't think children know enough about the black history, and, like, and nowadays they don't know what they're saying and stuff, like the N-word and stuff.
Do you think if we discussed it? And not so much discussed it, but do you think if it was taught better in schools, there wouldn't be this situation where, you know, that we have issues? Because there's like a standoff, isn't it? Not everybody, but, you know, there is this kind of standoff, and you know, can't talk about it, shouldn't talk about it, and if you do, it might get misheard and so on and so forth, and then it's all turned into something political. I think Benedict Cumberbatch has made a fool of himself in the last 48 hours, or has he? You know, it's a term that you know, sadly, my next door neighbour is 70 and she talks like a 70-year-old. And we were saying this off air, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. The term that she grew up with was coloured. And now that's deemed as not right. But you know, if she doesn't mean by when she says that, she doesn't mean anything by it. But just say, for instance, if that fell on the wrong ear, somebody would twist it and turn it around.
Exactly. Yeah.
But by talking about it, by making it, you know, here we are. You're sat in front of us.
Yep.
If she was here now and she used that term and you knew that she didn't really mean anything by it, would it offend you?
No, it wouldn't. Because I think I could tell by her tone. I could tell if she was being like mean or just saying it. I could tell by her tone if she was being rude or not. So it's fine. I wouldn't take it as offensive if she wasn't being rude.
Do you think, I don't know whether you answered the question or not, but do you think that if it was taught better in schools and it was out there and it was part of the curriculum, that we would have much, much more of an understanding of each other?
Definitely, yeah. I think that, you know, like, people wouldn't be that, like, you know, like, I think people are scared to say something around black individuals, whereas I think when they're taught that, when they're taught the history, they will not be that scared.
Education,
at all.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Education of what they've been through.
Yeah.
You know, and if we were all fully aware of what they've been through, then our perception of them would completely change, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, at the moment, we've got the anniversary of the closure of Auschwitz. And we're all being made aware of that. And you just think, okay, that is a wonderful thing. We're being made aware of something that was an atrocity and so on. And we've got all these people that have, a few people have lived through it. They've lived through it to tell the tale. And now we're being made aware of it. And yet we don't go out of our way to talk about what you wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit sad. And why do you think that is?
Why
do you think we don't talk about it?
I'm not sure. Just,
is it fear?
This is fear. Yeah, I think it's fear. Just fear of how we're gonna perceive what you're saying and stuff. And you know, like.
I was telling you about a guy that I used to go to school with. His name was Keith Abedham, and he was one of those guys that was he was the only black kid in school, and he unfortunately had a chip on his shoulder, and people just wanted to get to know him and be, because they didn't, you know, they just saw him as Keith.
Yeah,
and you know, and that was it, and it was, but he kept himself to himself and didn't really want to get close to anybody, and he was very standoffish, and I just thought it was very sad, because you know it just makes you, because he was the only black kid in school. I guess it put him on the back foot. Everyone, you know, he thought that everyone was against him, but they weren't. It is. I mean, when you look on the Isle of Wight, there aren't too many black people around.
No.
They're, you know, that we've got a, you know, more of mixed race than we had in the past, and don't have any issues with that at all whatsoever. But what kind of issues do you have on a daily basis? I know that you mentioned a little while ago that you had people looking you up and down, and so on.
Just a couple of days ago, me and my friends, and we were walking down, and I was with my my black friend, and we walked past this white guy, and he just stared him out, just stared him, gave him the dirtiest looks, just, and I said I didn't really appreciate it, but, you know, just walked off.
And you just walked off, because you're a lover, off. Not a fighter.
I'm a lover.
As we've already established. So, how does that make you feel? That must make you feel bad, doesn't it?
It does make me feel bad, but, you know, like, there's going to be people out there, there's going to be that kind of stuff always, all the time, but, you know, you just have to move past it and just keep looking at the positive, like.
On the whole, though, what is the Isle of Wight like?
It's nice, and I think the people that I've met, like the white people that I've met, have been very, quite nice and welcoming, and not like, just, you know, not trying to like.
I don't know
how to put it.
What's the worst thing anybody said to you?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on.
Are we looking at the N word?
No.
No?
It's
okay, well don't say it then, if it's a swear word, but it's, you like, know, you can kind of.
Can I spell it out?
Hint at well, give us the first word and we'll do the rest. Well, give us the initials.
There's two words. One starts with a W and ends with a G.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and...
Three letters.
Yeah, three letters. Right. And one starts with a C and ends with an N.
Okay. So, I've got to ask you, because...
That is dreadful, isn't it?
We grew up in a time where, on a certain jar, you would get... Wouldn't you? On a certain jar of stuff, you would get the... do you mind if I say it? Because it's not. You know, I'm not using.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But there was a jar, and it had the gollywog
on the marmalade.
Jar. Was it marmalade?
Yeah, marmalade.
Was it marmalade?
Yeah.
When you see that jar and it's got that, I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was a teddy bear. I just thought it was not a human being. I just thought it was a teddy bear. But then somebody else came along and said, "Oh no, that's a black man." And you kind of think, how do you feel when you see it, if you were to see a jar of marmalade with a gollywog on? Do you think that that's you know, having a go at you, or do you think, hang on a minute?
I don't know. I think gollywogs look quite cool, actually. So.
It's been manipulated, hasn't it? It was manipulated from a soft toy doll, like it was when we were children, into something else, and it's been made to be racist by people that have used it as such.
Yeah, because I don't really see it. I don't really see a gollywog as racist. I think it looks pretty cool. I bought myself a gollywog toy the other day, and I thought it was really cool, and I gave it to my mom. I said, "Here's a gollywog." She was just happy about it. It's funny. It's a nice thing. But
when you see things like that, do you think, hey, hang on a minute, we should be focusing the issues on something far more greater than a jar of blimmin' marmalade or something, or a cuddly toy?
Yeah.
You know, let's concentrate on the issues, history, the history that you've had to go through, the problems that you've had to, you know, and I would imagine you still regularly have kind of problems with people, or is it not nowhere near as bad? I know that you said that you've travelled around the world.
Yeah, I've travelled around the world.
Where have you had most issues?
I think it's mostly because I've lived in Africa for most of my life, so I've been around black people a lot. But I think I'm not really sure. I think it was in Norway. I've experienced a lot of racism. Like when I first moved there, they said I couldn't learn the language because I was something. Children were like, "Oh, he's black. He can't learn the language. He speaks something else," and stuff like that. But, yeah.
So is it when we're talking Scandinavian countries here? So is it an ignorant thing? Obviously, it is an ignorant thing. But is it because there's not so many black people in those countries that they have the issue?
Yeah, I think there's not that many black people. But also because I was like five around the time, and I think the other kids were five as well. So I don't think they knew the. Anything
context
about
yeah, the meaning the context, of what they were actually
the context
saying.
Of what they were saying. They just they just grew up and they heard that.
Right.
Yeah.
What other countries have you lived in? Because you're a man that's well travelled.
Yeah, I've travelled. I've travelled around all of Europe. I haven't lived in all of Europe. I've just travelled a lot. Travelled all around Africa. Travelled to America, but I was a baby. But that's. Yeah.
Do you know what my great auntie? I was ashamed of her this day because back in about 1978, they went to South Africa and they brought me back a T-shirt and I screwed it up and I put it in the bin. It was a Kruger Park T-shirt, so completely innocent T-shirt. It was a nice T-shirt as well. I did cut my nose off to spite my face actually because it was nice, but they brought back some photos and they were quite proud, and I was ashamed that the pictures of the beaches, there were signs saying. And they used the words, obviously, no blacks. They used a different term. And I thought, how disgusting is that? Mm. And, you know, that was in 1978. Obviously, you know, we had just seen Roots on the television. Mm. So we had our kind of eyes open. But you don't see enough programmes like that that kind of describe. But you are right. We don't teach it in schools. Would you be okay to take a call? You know, I don't know who's... Yeah, do you want to take one? Hi, who's this?
It's Tony.
Hello, Tony.
You all right?
How are you?
I'm very well, mate.
Nice to hear from you. We're talking to a fabulous young man. I don't know whether you've been listening to this, but...
No, I've been in a meeting. Ali messaged me last night.
Right.
about achievements.
You've missed your opportunity to talk about your swim. Can we do this another time? Because I say we're some right smack bang in the middle of.
No, that's fine, mate. That's fine.
It's good to
that's
hear
fine.
From
I'll
you.
I'll do it another time. No problem at all.
All right, thanks, Tony. Good see to
you,
hear from you.
Bye.
Happy New
Bye,
Year.
Tom.
See you, mate. We can't have talking about his swim when we're talking about this, can we? It's as simple as that. But
he's on a timed lunch break.
Is he? Have you got brothers, sisters, and?
I've got all white siblings,
right?
From my mum's side.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, do they? I mean, you all get on, obviously.
Oh yeah. Get on very well with them.
So
yeah.
I mean, that's isn't that lovely to hear?
Yeah, really, definitely.
I just think it's a nice thing. When I didn't even, to be honest, when you came in and you said yesterday about Black History, it didn't even cross my mind. Mm. Oh crikey, yeah, he's and honestly, that's apart from when he walked in with the hair, I thought how wicked is that. So not only do I want, you know, the colour skin that you've got, I also want the hair that you've got too.
You just want some hair, don't you? Really?
I mean. Do you feel uncomfortable talking about this?
No.
As we are? No.
No, he doesn't look it either, does he?
But
no.
do you believe, you know, we don't have discussions like this enough?
No, not at all. No.
And I just want to bring in Lewis, if I may.
Yeah.
I mean, because I don't want to put you on the spot, Lewis, but, you know, obviously be careful what you say, because you don't want to offend anybody, all right?
Yeah.
Because the old offending police will be out there. And do you feel like you've had your eyes opened a little bit this morning?
Yeah, definitely. I did history in year 10, so I learned a lot about the whole Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, that sort of stuff.
Right.
So, but yeah, this is definitely it's a big eye-opener.
And honestly, I say to people, walk, if you can criticise me all you like, but you walk in my shoes for a day and see where you go. You know, I would imagine the issues that you may have on a daily basis now and nothing like there would be if you lived elsewhere, because you know the Isle of Wight is pretty laid back and so on and so forth. Would you say we're probably less aggressive than most places towards you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and you mentioned Norway there. Norway was
and Indonesia. They call me Kakhba, which is the Arabic meaning. N-word, so...
Right, okay.
Yeah, and they call me that all the time whenever I walk around.
Gone off mic there, yeah. All right. So I mean, honestly, I find it fascinating, but what I really want to hammer home the point is we don't talk about it, we shove it under the carpet, we don't discuss it, we don't say, okay, this is how you really feel, you're not offended by that, you will be offended by this, but because we've talked about it, we now know.
I mean, there is sometimes when people try to teach it, like Black History Month, but I don't think that's quite necessary, because why does it have to be 1 month that people get to learn about Black History? Should be like every day or most days. It should be on children's timetables, like history.
Do you feel as though it should be, you know, because I look at it and I think, what do we have to label it?
Exactly.
Can't we just put it in as that is what you're going to learn about today, and it's part of history? Mm. Whereas, and the daft thing is that we don't put it in anyway. So, yeah. which kind of contradicts, but I think maybe we just do history and it's part of the curriculum.
Yeah, yeah, it should be.
Rather than label it up, it's, you know, because otherwise it's like you'll probably get kids going, oh, what should we do with this? It's nothing to do with us. And you don't want that, because you don't want to highlight the fact, do you? You just basically want to do it as part of the history.
Exactly, yeah.
A part of everything else.
But, yeah, but one of the problems is, I forgot his name, his first name, but his last name's Gove, and he's like, he does with the... With
Michael
the
Gove. Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
With the, he wanted to take Black History out of all history lessons, just completely, so no, you wouldn't learn about them in the 20s or the 30s or the 40s or the 50s or anything.
That's insulting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite insulting.
He's just gone now, though, hasn't he?
I don't, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think he's in education anymore.
That's good.
Blimmin' gone, shouldn't he? To be honest,
yeah. He's basically saying that we're not important enough to learn about. So,
what's the? I mean, just say for instance, just pluck a few things out of the air. What's the most important things that we're missing here in schools by not doing it? Whereabouts and what are we? You know, what are the key things?
I think you know, like I think schools are missing the whole point. Like, you should show the kids know about racism and all that. But you know, like, if you take them back to when it first started, you'll know like the context of why the racism started and how it progressed and all that. And you know, like how slavery was abolished, but then it's, you know, like it's still around today, and how racism continued on to stay on, and that's what they're missing.
Yeah. It's
we've
run out of time, but I think you're an incredible young chap, and I think you're a lovely young man as well. I really do, and I'm very envious of your colour skin. If that's you know, and I'm not on you.
Yeah,
I mean, you're pale and pasty, aren't you?
I'm an English rose,
and you'd love hair like that. I know I would.
Oh no, I'd have to get my straighteners out.
Yeah. Oh no, that's honestly, it's credit to you, because I think by having these kind of conversations, it opens up the way for people to discuss and talk. Mm-hmm. Because too many times we just shove it under the carpet and we just, oh, somebody's been moaning about that. And you're just labelled. And I think don't let's just talk about it. You know, and that's what we don't do. We don't communicate enough.
It's so normal.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of assuming, don't we?
We do.
We do a lot of assuming.
Hey, thank you for coming in. I know it's you're going to be here for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Izana G. I can see you being, having not your own show, maybe, and doing lots of good stuff. Thank you for coming in.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. And your comments as well, Lewis, as well. And Ali Prickles Hayden.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as Alison when she's naughty.
Yeah, very naughty.
Thank you for being there. Stand by. Anybody know who's up next? I'm looking for the window. It's Andy Knight on the way next. Thank you.